Oh, Gravity Falls, it is good to be back!
Welcome to the See You Next Time podcast. I'm Rob Rodriguez, and here's with me my unicorn, Billy Fatherhood.
You are not purified.
No.
Yeah. What's up, guys? We're back, and we are here to talk about season 2, episode 15, The Last Mablecorn. Obviously, a play on The Last Unicorn, because unicorns are the central theme of this episode, and it's just weird. We're close to the end.
Yeah, we're recasting. Unfortunately, talking about unicorns, there's not a really buff, sexy Satan like in Legend, directed by Ridley Scott.
Big horn guy.
Yeah. Start the episode. We see the mystery jacket is at night, and I love this random joke of Mabel sleeping and she's hugging a toy. It's like a Princess Labacorn says, buy my 42 accessories.
Yep. And then we get the trippy, I call it the Man of Steel sequence because it's in a cornfield. And it's Lord Scream. So he appears in a field of wheat. It has a ruined swing set. It has the portal. And the Stand of War is actually around him. I never noticed that the first time. But Ford looks around and everything's starting to flatten, and then we see it's a big ass image of Bill. And he's like, I know that laugh. Show yourself! And he goes, well. And it's multiple Bills.
Yeah.
Aren't you a sight for sore eye? Stanford Philbrick Pines, my old pal. So we learned his middle name is Philbrick.
Mm-hmm. Bill Cipher, what do you want from me?
Oh, quit playing dumb IQ. You knew I'd be back. And he flicks his nose.
Yes.
You think shutting down that portal can stop what I have planned? I've been making deals, chatting with old friends, preparing for the big day. You can't keep that rift safe forever. You'll slip up, and when you do,
get out of here. You have no dominion in our world.
Maybe not right now, but things change, Stanford Pine. Things change. And then we see a quick, oh yeah, the weird several images. I feel like Tyler Durden's penis was somehow inserted in there. If you've never seen Fight Club, you don't know what we're talking about. But I believe it. One is a Ford's hand, one is a Ford's eye. It looks like an extended version of the Zodiac. And Ford wakes up and he's like, huh, I have to warn them. He's coming.
Dun, dun, dun.
Theme song.
Yeah.
But shortened theme song this time.
Mm-hmm. And then we cut into the, and then we go back to the shack and we see Dipper and Mabel opening a closet. All right, Grandpa Stan, let's see if you have some decent board games. Battleships and Ladder Ships, Necronomiconopoly.
Okay. Yeah, Necronomiconopoly.
Don't Wake Stalin.
I would play Don't Wake Stalin.
Oh, and the Jumanji one. What could go wrong? The board game.
The last players who opened this box never made it out alive. I love this. Yeah, I know what we're going to do. This should take up the next 21 minutes.
And also for the Gen Z's. I'm talking not about the original Jumanji with Robin Williams, not the rap one.
But also, he's like, oh, this should take up the next 21 minutes. It's like very meta because they know that that's how long the episodes usually last. Not counting commercial breaks or credits.
Mm-hmm.
And then we hear family meeting, and oh yeah. Stan is talking with another guy. His name's supposed to be Santiago, I think.
Yes.
and he has a truck outside the Mystery Shack, and he has a barrel full of pugs. He has multiple barrels full of pugs, and he's going to smuggle he goes, "All right, Santiago, you have 24 hours to get these pugs across the U.S. border." What was he going to smuggle pugs out for? They're like,
I think he was mentioning one of the, in the last episode, in the one that he's running for the Centurion candidate, that he said something about pugs in one of his crimes that he did.
Yeah, that would make sense. I don't put it past him.
And then he says, even though it should have said, "No te preocupes, vamos, vamos." But he says, "No te preocupas, vamos, vamos."
Yeah, so everybody is there. And then Ford has a bunch of scrolls tucked under his arm. And he is reading a book, of course. And he's just like, "Come on, come on. Ooh, mysterious scrolls and potions. Are you going to tell us we're finally of age to go to wizard school? Is there an owl in this bag?" No, if there's an owl in this bag, he is dead. Why would he keep a dead owl in his bag? Who knows? And he's like, "Do you know about this symbol?" And then it shows Bill, and they're like, "Bill." And he goes, "You know him?" And he's like, he's been terrorizing us all summer.
And it says, like, "We had defeated him twice." And May was like, "Once with kittens and once with tickles."
Yeah, Dipper's been pretty paranoid since Bill turned into a living sock puppet. And Dipper's like, it was a lot more heroic than it sounds.
It was like, "I encounter many dark beings in my time, Dipper, but what matters is the powers of his growing stronger, and he pulls out his plans. There's no one in this family will be safe. Fortunately, there's a way to shield us from his mental tricks, a way to bill-proof the shack." And he shows like a map of the shack. I was like, all I have to do...
Take great offense at the term bill-proof the shack. How dare you, sir? Not all bills are bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so it's like,
I mean, I'm a piece of shit, but like, I still take care of offense. Hey,
you're not a powerful demon that could destroy reality.
That you know.
Not yet. It's just saying, maybe in the sequel.
I mean, you don't know. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. But anyway,
yeah, I will place some moonstones here, some sprinkles of mercury, and I forget the last ingredient, unicorn hair. And Dipper's like, "Is that red? Oh, it's hopeless." And then looks at journal number one. "Unicorns are reside deep within the enchanted forest, and the hairs can only be obtained by a pure, good hearted person who goes on a magical quest to find them."
Oh, God, because you know who loves unicorns.
Yes,
it's Mabel. And she starts freaking out. She does the girl thing, like, "Ah!" She's like, "Ford, I need to go on this quest. I am obsessed with unicorns. My first word was unicorn. I made my own unicorn by taping a traffic cone to a horse's head." It said, "Banned from petting zoo."
Are you even looking at the sweater that I wear right now?
She has a unicorn on it, and it's a rainbow sweater, of course. And she's like, "Not to mention that I'm probably the most pure of heart person in this room." Yeah, she has a point. I can't argue there. "I'll give you my blood."
And Jafar was like, "Very well. Okay, you take this," and it gives Mabel a crossbow. "Oh, I haven't been in this mission for a while. Is it okay to give children weapons, right?"
Come on, dog. And then she fires the crossbow, and then it hits Stan's car.
It's the cops. Got it. And then we see that the pucks are like going away.
I love that she's like, also, "Candy, Grenda, Wendy. Clear the afternoon. We're gonna have a girl's day." So then Dipper's like, "Okay, what are the odds she gets the hair? Unlikely. And I've dealt with unicorns before. If I had to describe them in one word, it would be frustrating." That's true. And then we go, "Follow me," because they're gonna deal with Bill. And we go down to, of course, the elevator, which is now not a secret, to the second floor this time. And we're in Ford's private study, where he keeps all his most ancient and secret knowledge. Even Stan doesn't know about it. So it shows that he really does trust Dipper the most, because he sees a lot of himself in Dipper. So he's like, "If we can't bill-proof the shack, we're going to bill-proof our minds." And he has a big helmet with a bunch of wires on it, and it looks scary.
And then we cut into Mabel, Granda, and Wendy in the woods, and Mabel. And it was like, it's nice to be on a mission just as Gals and Granda. Forget the call talk. I'm here to meet Tasha or becoming a unicorn. I hear if you lick a unicorn's neck, it tastes like your favorite flavor in the world. Candy, I will make sure you lick that unicorn's neck.
Wendy's just like, look, I stopped believing in unicorns when I was 5. I'm just here to keep you kids from walking into a bear trap, which is very well could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the magic part of the forest. Let's see. The gnome tavern's over there. The fairy nail salon is over there. But says that to summon the unicorn, one must bellow this ancient chant droned only by the deepest voiced druids of old. And then Grenda's like, on it! Oi, 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 oi. It's just the way she says it.
Oh my god. And then Wendy's like, I bet you $10 nothing happens, Mabel. I'll take that bet. And then we see a fortress rising out of the ground. And they enter, and then they're seeing all of the wonderful, the fucking fountain, and we see the unicorns, and then we see Celestabel, Dabel.
Celestabel and Bethabel.
Thank you, Bethabel. Mother of mothers, queen of dreams, no way, says Wendy. And May was like, give me. She's like,
kills me too. She's just like, I'll take that bet. I don't think it was literal.
And Celeste Bell was like, oh, visitors to my realm of enchantment.
I gotta look up who voices Celeste Bell the Bell. Yes.
And then Mabel was like, oh my gosh, what is your name? I'm Celeste Bell Betabel.
Okay, that's what I thought. It's one of the animators.
Nice.
Yes. I knew it was a guy.
Nice.
Because you know they're just doing like the girly voice.
The girly voice. I'm the last of my kind. Come in. Just take off your shoes. I have a whole thing about shoes.
You know people like that too.
Yeah. And
that's also a red flag for me.
Yeah, I don't like that either.
People that are just like, oh, you gotta take off your shoes. It's fine when you're in your own home. Because I do that personally in my home. But if it's at a guest's home, unless you're like staying the night or something, like sleeping on their couch or whatever, you don't need to take off your shoes. That's just weird. She's like, oh yeah, and then Wendy tries to just go through with her boots.
I'm talking to everyone. And then, oh, Celeste Bell, Beta Bell, we have your wife, far and wide, Granda, about an hour.
About an hour. To protect our family with your magical hair. This is your chance, Candy. Lick the neck. Lick it.
Very well. To receive a lock of my enchanted hair. Step 4. Girl of beautiful, perfect heart.
Yep. And then Mabel comes in and then she's like, me.
What? You? A unicorn can see deep inside your heart, child.
And then it's points at Mabel with the horn and the chest glows with a big ass heart. It's like the Grinch.
Yes.
Where I felt like, and Mabel's heart grew 3 sizes that day. She had to go to the emergency room because if your heart grows 3 sizes, kids, that's bad. You're probably going to die.
And you have drawn, don't run, run, I say. I do make fun of Dipper a lot. So maybe I should have went with a crossbow. You bet this makes me cry. And then she cries and fucking kills a flower. And I'm like, is Celeste Bell, Beta Bell, a xenomorph?
Maybe. What kills me is just the anime eyes.
Yes!
Just, my god. And then I believe this is when Mabel runs off, I think crying, actually.
Yeah, she's like, Celeste Bell's like, come back with your beautiful heart! And since that way, shoes, take out your shoes. This is some shoe store.
Just like, it's like, yeah, take that, you person that, you know, coming up with something at the last minute that I know that feeling all too well. But then it's just like, don't let her get to you. Yeah, I wouldn't trust a horse that wears makeup.
Damn.
And then, yeah, Mabel's just like, look, I was one of the sweetest people I knew. but I've been slacking in the whole goodness. But today, we're going to fix it. We're going to do some good deeds. And then she punches a bird unintentionally. She's like, that bird's fine. Then we cut back to Dipper and Ford.
Yeah, we cut back into Ford and Dipper. And they're like, so what is Bill exactly? Ford was like, no one knows for sure. Accounts differ on his true motivations and origins. I know that he's older than our galaxy and far more twisted. Without a physical form, he can only project himself into our thoughts through the mindscape.
So is you.
That would be amazing, though.
I mean, you are older than our galaxy, so.
Then Dipper's like, how do we keep Bill out of our minds? For there's a number of ways. I personally had a metal plate installed in my head.
Clink, clink.
And clink, clink. And in my head, I just think of like, get out of my head, Charles. Of X-Men.
Oh, Logan. How we love
you. Oh, my God. And then Ford was like, but this machine is safer.
Speaking of Charles, it's basically Cerebro.
Yes. Ooh. And also, technically, unfortunately, Disney already owns the X-Men. So, yeah, it's part of Cerebro now.
Well, I mean, they didn't have the rights to Cerebro back then.
Not yet. Yeah, back then.
Yeah.
But now they do.
Because they are a dark overlord. Clink, clink.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, hail Disney. And we see Ford. I was like, well, this machine is safer. It will scan your mind. And then we see the inside of Dipper's mind. Oh, man, I can't believe I win the other. Is my flying down? Disco girl. Wendy. Dipper's like, man, you might want to ignore that last one, though. And Ford is like, Dipper, do you trust me? Well, yeah. When? Then you will trust that that's not important. Now focus. It's time to strengthen your mind.
He pulled an Aladdin on him. Do you trust me?
Oh, and also I was thinking of Snape in Order of the Phoenix with Harry Potter. That whole spell about the mind and with Voldemort. What was the name of that spell?
Oh, the occlumency.
Yeah, thank you. The occlumency classes.
Yeah, no, legitimacy is going into the mind. Occlumency is blocking that. Yeah. My Harry Potter knowledge is still intact. Sometimes it can be a bit rusty. But then we see Mabel strengthening heart. And then we get a montage. She picks up snails off the sidewalk, puts them on the grass. She digs a hole in front of
Toby Turman's house.
And Grenda puts a fucking tree in front of it. The fact that she managed to pick up like a big oak, one of those big trees that you see. And she blocks Toby in his own home. Puts a giant smiley face sticker on Stan and it's suffocating him.
She donates three pints of blood and then she faints. She stops traffic to save some ducks. And the last...
paints glitter on the Nathaniel Northwest statue. Yeah.
And then did you pause on the list of all the things that she did? There's a hidden joke there that all of the things that she did to be good, it says abolish Electoral College.
Hmm? Oh, okay. I got the good deed list right here. Save snails, plant tree, make Stan smile, donate blood, guide ducks, bezazzle Nathan, tip Susan, old lady biz, massage waddles, sponsor clown, water tulips, take out trash, wash Seuss. Scratch Waddles, polish Tyler's boots, abolish electrical. Yeah, abolish electoral college.
Oh, Alex. Oh,
that's a good Alex. One. Oh, clean gutter, polish shack's floor, mow Dan's lawn. Then, well, once we get to meeting the unicorn again. Yeah, also, we did get a montage song, so that's great.
And then I was like, Mabel, they'll go back. I was like, when that unicorn scars my heart, she's going to see that I'm saluting 100% not pure of heart. Wait, what? I was like, how is that even possible? Mabel's a straight up saint, you judgmental back.
That sounded like a racial slur for me.
Yeah.
I was like, damn, Wendy, that was cold.
And
do it more.
Celesta, she's like, doing good deeds to make yourself look better. You're so good at all. Not to mention that you're crushing like 10 dandelions right now. They're basically children's dreams. I'm sorry, Mabel. It's not my fault you're a bad person. Celeste is a fucking bitch.
Oh, that's when Mabel runs off. That's when Mabel runs off and cries. Yeah, it's like, fuck you, Celeste Bethabel. See, now it's becoming easier to say. Also, your name is Celeste Bethabel.
It's like, no.
I have a 3 o'clock posing in front of a rainbow.
Oh, yeah, and there's...
I just imagine Celeste Bell as an Instagram model.
There's a satyr that is yep. playing on the pipe. A satyr is a half-man, half-goat.
That is not Danny DeVito from Hercules, unfortunately.
That is Phil from Hercules.
I know, but it's not voiced by Danny DeVito.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're just like, let's just forget about the unicorn hair. And then she's just like, it's not about the hair, guys. It's about me. Being kind of sweet is kind of makes me who I am. If I'm not a good person, who am I? And then she's like, I gotta think of a deed that makes me as good as Celeste Bethabel. And they're like, she's just like, just leave me alone. And then Wendy's just like, guys, if you ask me, this whole thing's a serious load. Mabel's like the best person ever. We tried to get the hair the good way. Now, time we try the Wendy way. Are you suggesting violence? Sabotage? Mabel's not gonna like that. Mabel doesn't need to know. Look, it's time we stop trying to be so perfect and be who we really are. We're crazed, angry, sweaty animals. We're not unicorns. We're women, and we take what we want. And then she punches a tree, and it brings down a couple leaves, and then they're like, yeah! And then Grenda fucking smashes a rock on her head. Douche! Too much?
Oh my god, Grenda's fucking amazing.
No, I can't help. But think of the druid chants.
And then we cut into Nasties, that is the bar of all of the gnomes. And there was like, give me a flagon of your dandiest honeysuckle, please. And I'm going to see some ID. And I was like, it's the cops. Hit the deck. And we see Wendy was like, I'm looking for someone who knows how to take down a unicorn. No tricks or games. Candy, we are human. We take what we want.
Oh, she smashes a bottle, too.
Yeah, it was like
makes it a broken bottle.
And then I was like, you need fairy dust, a whole magic bag, enough to put a unicorn out cold. If you do me a favor, you're going to do something for me. Just spill it out. Butterfly trafficking is illegal in this part of the forest, but I like butterflies. They tickle my face and me laugh. Bring me a bag of butterflies and we got a deal. Jesus!
Oh my god, they tickle my face and make me laugh, among other things.
And I'm like, is butterflies crack for the gnomes?
Maybe. Maybe they're like, they give like euphoric, or they're like LSD or whatever. They are colorful, mm-hmm. So maybe. Two bags, oh yeah.
Gnomes of Euphoria, coming soon to Disney Plus.
Oh yeah, the bar is Nasties with a G as well, like gnome. But I love that they approach it like a drug deal with like the yep. overcoat and the sunglasses and everything, like the
CSI Miami.
Yeah, like trying to pass off, like, hey, trying not to look suspicious, but by doing so, become the most suspicious looking.
And just
people.
Imagine Grenda putting her fucking sunglasses and you hear, yeah.
Oh yeah, and then it's just like, where'd you get this stuff? Everyone likes sausage, but no one likes to know how it's made.
Disgusts me.
You got your poison. I got mine. We made
the
deal.
The deal is off, says Grenda.
It's a sting operation. It was a setup. Butterflies aren't mine. I've been framed. Tell it to the adorable owl we've dressed as a judge. Speaking of owls.
And then he says to Grenda, my cut one of the cops.
So the cops are just as corrupt. This town,
and
is
Disney approved that.
This town is a cesspool. And then you get the awesome like saxophone player in the back. Forget it. This is Gravity Falls.
Forget it, Candy. This is Gravity Falls.
you gotta have the narration, everything.
Yeah.
I went later that night to see if they weren't bullshitting me. They had my stuff. He's gotta have like the Clint Eastwood gravelly voice. And a 5 o'clock shadow and everything. I just wanted to see if he wasn't bullshitting me. This town is terrible. Or it's like Watchmen or Sin City. Or Bruce Willis in Sin City. I really like the butterflies. They tickle my face when I want to laugh. It's the only thing that makes me laugh. Sometimes I light down matches just to my fingertips so I can feel something.
Oh, now you're doing fucking Spider-Man Noir.
You see what I mean, though? It's yeah. Noir. And after that, I believe... Celesta Bethabel is reading a book, and it's Winnie, Pray, Trot.
And Trot?
Like, I guess, Eat, Pray, Love.
Yeah, I was like, oh, sure, sure. I wish I could travel, but it's not feasible in this economy.
What the hey?
And then we see the phone... playing SOS in Morse code, and then Grenda immediately puts him into sleep.
Oh, yeah. No, she chloroforms him.
Oh, yeah.
Like, puts the thing, and it's just like, no. Shh, 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 shh. I'll be over soon.
Grenda has committed a lot of crimes during this season.
Yeah. Sleep now. Sleep. Until he loses consciousness. Oh, yeah. It's not a satyr. It's a fawn.
A fawn, yeah.
Yeah, like in Pan, but not like the Pan's Labyrinth fawn where that's scary, but it's just a cute fawn. But yeah, they're about to cut the hair, and then Mabel comes in and is like, what? Stop! And they're like, no, you'll wake her up. This is wrong, guys. And then Mabel takes the scissors.
What? Do my eyes deceive me? Thief!
Doth my eyes deceive me? Okay, she reads.
Yeah, sure, you shall never be beautiful! No, you don't understand. And then we see a blue unicorn that shows up. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. Yo, Sibe, are you seriously pulling this pure heart crap, a scam again?
That is messed up, man.
Wait, scam?
Yeah, kid, unicorns can't see into your heart. All our dumb hearts can do is glow, point towards the nearest rainbow, and play rave music. Yeah, the whole pure heart racket is just a line we use to get humans to leave us alone.
Guys, shut up!
And then Mabel is pissed.
Oh, yeah.
All this time, I thought I was a bad person. You're even worse than I am. And then they're like...
And it was like, okay, fine. So you learn our secret. We're yours, okay? We have more hair than we know what you do, what to do with. And keep it to ourselves just to take humans out. What are you going to do about it, huh? What are you
gonna do? Go ahead and cry. But what are you gonna cry? You see, Celesta Bethabel is a bully.
And then Celesta Bethabel's like, I'll send you a copy, and Mabel.
Because that's what happened. Mabel punches her right in the face, causes her to bleed.
Then Grenda, boom, that one bitch went down.
Or Wendy.
Or Wendy.
She's like, woo, go Mabel, join the dark side.
Yes.
And then we see, oh yeah, she tears the unicorn off her sweater. And then it's fight. All right, it's fight you're going to get. And then we see them running at each other. Ah!
Civil War style. Yep. Yeah.
And then we see Dipper, who's getting his thoughts scanned. It said only 15%. Jesus. But he has a lot of thoughts. Can you imagine if they scanned your thoughts? It'd be like 1% at this time.
You know, it won't be like 1%, yeah.
It'd be nothing but full of... like stupid theories and well, not stupid theories, like half of them are stupid, half of them are just like legitimate, like, oh, okay, I could see that.
Yeah, it could happen though.
There's a whole section on Pretty Little Liars. It's like a good quarter of the brain.
The Gossip Girl section.
Yeah, the whole TV section is a mess.
Yeah, but it was like I need to know what's going on. I was like But I wonder if Greta Comfort is thinking, use the machine. It will show your thoughts. He will know. He's going to tell you eventually. No, it will help us reveal. I'm really good at rationalizing. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
It's because it's his thoughts. That's why. It's just like, what are you hiding about Bill? Oh, yeah. And Dipper did. You saw something earlier that indicated. Like Ford was hiding something. It was like under a...
It was like a painting covering a blanket.
We see that he puts it on Ford's head. Because Ford's sleeping at this point. And then we see McGucket yelling at Ford. He's just like, what are you working... Who are you working with? My brother is dangerous. Know it all. He would trick or possess anyone. Then it's a deal from now until the end of time. Because we see him as a young man. Then we see screens changed to Ford writing, I'm losing my mind and trust no one in the journal. Bill holds out his hand, the fire hand. Just let me into your mind, Stanford. please call me a friend. Because it turned out Ford and Bill worked together. And then we see Ford, we shouldn't have done that. And then we see that he takes off the helmet and knocks down the curtain and reveals many shit, like many paintings and stuff of Bill. And also, I love that it's kept like, oh man, could he be working for Bill? And the fact that his glasses also, they don't show his eyes.
Yeah.
Because it makes you think that, oh.
Like he's possessed.
Is he possessed? You go for
and
it.
And I was like, careful, hand me the riff. Why were you really scanning my thoughts? Are you Bill right now? No, just calm down, P. Are you going to call me Pine Tree? That's what you're going to call me? I was just going to say, please, kid. Great Uncle Fall, tell me to protect the riff. Get one step closer and I'll shoot. And I'll raise you right out of Ford's head. It's me, Dipper, your uncle. And Dipper's like, trust no one. Trust no one. Ford's like, hand it to me. And then we see the gun firing at Ford, but it bounces off out of his glasses and around the room and destroys one of the screens.
Yeah, and then he's just like, now, just calm down. Calm down. Look into my eyes. Look at my pupils. It's me, Dipper. It's me. Try to erase your mind. I'm so sorry. And then it's okay, Dipper. Besides, my mind can't be erased anyway, remember? Clink, clink.
Mm-hmm.
If I really was Bill, though, you would have done great. I should have been more like you when I was young, Dipper. And this is a pretty lengthy monologue, so just bear with me. I was a fool to try to hide all this. The reason I've been trying to prepare you for Bill's tricks is that Bill tricked me. It's the biggest regret of my life. Bill wasn't always my enemy, Dipper. I used to think he was my friend long, long ago. I had hit a roadblock in my investigation of Gravity Falls. Until I found some mysterious writing in a cave. Ancient incantations about a being with answers. It warned me not to read them, but I was desperate. I read the inscription aloud. Nothing happened. Till later that afternoon, when I had the most peculiar dream. And you see the knots on these... It's Ford sleeping under a tree like Rip Van Winkle. And the knots on the tree become Bill's eyes. And then we see the background fades. And... the journals and pages are floating, and yep, we're in the dreamscape, I would think. He's like, "How you smart guy? Whoa, don't have a heart attack. You're not 92 yet."
Mm.
And then we see Ford and Bill. He's just like, "Your name's Bill. Your name's Stanford Pines, the man who changed the world." But I'm getting ahead of ourselves. Let's relax. Care for a game of interdimensional chess? Have a cup of tea. And he flatters Ford, and Ford goes, "He told me he was a muse, that he chose one brilliant mind a century to inspire. What a fool I was, blinded by his flattery and games. He became my research assistant. He was free to move in and out of my mind as he pleased." And we see that McGucket was there, and that Ford had like a satanic circle.
Mm-hmm.
Then you see like his eyes open up for like a second and then close, just as McGucket looked over. And we see Ford and Bill, or Ford comes up with the equation for the universe portal. And then when he told me I can complete my research by building a gateway to other worlds, I trusted him. He said this was the way genius happened, little help from a friend. So that's why he was building the portal. Because it would give him answers. I seemed that I was on the verge of my greatest achievement. And then my partner got a glimpse of Bill's true plans. And so he confronts Bill about this. And he's like, "What does the portal really do?" He's like, "Oh, looks like Mr. Brainiac finally got smart. Let's just say that when that portal finishes charging up, your dimension's gonna learn how to party. Right, damn. Guys? We see people in the shadows, or things in the shadows.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's just like, "I'll shut it down. A deal's a deal, Sixer. Can't stop a bridge between our worlds from coming. But it would be fun to watch you try." Cute, even. So that's why he shut the portal down. Because
mm-hmm.
It severs the link between Bill's world and his. He's like, "I had to hide my instructions so no one ever find Bill's work." And Bill's been waiting for that gateway to open ever since. All he needs to get his hands on is the rift. To Bill, it's just a game, but to us, it can mean the end of our world. So that's why Ford hid the journals.
Mm-hmm. It's like, oh man indeed. And we see that they're drinking a cola in the living room. It was like, I'm so embarrassed about earlier. It was like, from now on, it says for no more secrets between us. We're not the first to eat is being tricked by Bill, oh boy. But if we were together, we could be the last. I was like, but what about Bill? I brought the machine. We had no way to protect the shack. And then we see Mabel. Did someone say unicorn hair?
Oh, yeah. And they're all beat up and they are covered in unicorn blood.
Yeah. In a deleted scene that I think I saw this on Reddit over like a follow the animation, of course, without any color. There was going to be kind of like a fight scene that it got deleted. It would have been really cool.
Oh, I know. I just feel like those unicorns are murdered.
Oh, yeah. They're dead. They're dead.
They beat him to death. I mean, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah. if I were making the show without Disney, Grenda will have Celesta Bell's head like on a stick.
With a boulder.
Yeah.
Smashes her head in.
Yeah. It was like a... And then we see, I was like, we have everything. I was like, we're covering unicorn fluids and tears. I was like, that would have been perfect. And I was like, either way, we got some unicorn hair. And I was like, we got unicorn tears, unicorn eyelashes. And then we see Grenda is using the unicorn eyelashes. Oh, and Grenda was like, they finally gave us this treasure to get rid of us. I was like, it can't be. This is great, girls. With this unicorn hair, we should be able to complete shielding the shack from Bill's mind and tricks. It's okay, Mabel. Better than okay. You protected your family. You're a good person, Mabel. Thanks, Raccoon Fall, but I learned that the morality is relative. And then we see Stan. Money!
Morality is relative. The universe is a hologram. Bye, Gold. Bye! The only time we see Stan is him doing something illegal in the back and running to get half that treasure.
And that's true. There's not a lot of Stan in this one. This is a 4 episode, technically.
Which is good, because we needed
this.
And we get a little bit more answers. Like, yeah, that is a good question. How did Ford know who Bill was? And how did that happen? And we get the reason why Ford did what he did for the Universal Portal. So it sets up why that catalyst for the entire series happened, or the catalyst for the entire mystery happened.
Yes.
Because we got the backstory of everything else in Tale 2 Stands. So it's just filling in the blanks. So now we pretty much have the entire story.
And we already have the foreshadowing of the endgame of the show.
Oh, yes, because the end credits scene, this is a Marvel style endgame kind of post-credit scene. Not like an end game, but like it's a post-credit scene where it's like setting up like Thanos and shit.
No, it's a really good scene though, because we see Ford, it was like a perfect, that he's already putting all the unicorn candy. We see a whole shield around the shack. This will protect us from Bill. As long as we're inside, our minds are safe.
So I guess I can't possess anyone inside the shack. And we see that Bill is watching from the mindscape. Yeah, not the dreamscape, the mindscape. That's what it was. So I'll just have to find my next pawn on the outside.
Oh, sorry.
And we see his eye flashes between a lot of characters. So
we see Zeus, Gideon, Toby Determined, the pizza guy.
How hilarious would it be if it was the pizza guy?
That would have been amazing, though. The first time I saw this episode, I was afraid, though, because Zeus's image lasted like a little more than the other ones. And I'm like, if they do something to my boy, and I'm like, oh my god. I was like, I got scared the first time I saw this.
Yeah, so big thing of series continuity and all that shtick. The revelations we've talked about. But also, Ford felt... So Bill and Ford designed the portal together, and Ford feels guilty about what happened to McGucket. Like, he actually feels some guilt. So some continuity. The electron carpet is in this episode because Ford is sleeping in the quote-unquote break room. Interdimensional rift created by the portal in Dungeons, Dungeons, and More Dungeons is there. You see Stan Pug trafficking, like you said, mentioned in Santurian Candidate. They recalled the defeating of Bill in Dreamscapers and Sock Opera. the door to Ford's private study from Not What He Seems appears. Let me just keep reading through many of these because there is a lot. And I don't want to spend a half hour on it. We see some of the people that are like there to party. You'll see what we mean by that later. We see scenes from different episodes and texts of thoughts include I miss Tyrone, the first Dipper clone from Double Dipper. Who Stole the Capers, which it's a book from the Sibling Brothers.
Yeah.
Eeny, Meeny, Miny, You, which is what Bill said in Sock Opera. That Red Bathing Suit Man, referring to Wendy's lifeguard outfit in the Deep End. Also, the fact that it's lifeguard named Wendy, if you've ever seen The Sandlot. You know what I'm talking about. I should really try out the President's Key sometime. Which is the key that Quentin Tremblay gave to Dipper in Irrational Treasure. Disco Girl.
Yes.
Ooh, Ford's initial trust of Bill could briefly be seen in a section of Journal 3 entry in Dreamscapers, in which Ford fondly regards Bill as a friend. Section is scratched out and replaced by a warning not to trust Bill. Which that is true, and it is in our journals as well. The Unicorn entry in Journal 1 was briefly seen in Not What He Seems. The rave music one of the unicorns plays, it's the theme from Dance Pants Revolution in the Inconvenience Sing.
Nice, so it's the yeah.
Game, it's the game that Thompson was playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. Trust No One is a reference to the X-Files.
Mm-hmm. And the pilot, because that was in the journal.
There's a prototype of one of Ford's experiments. That's on his desk in the room near the beginning of the episode before Bill enters his mind. Yeah, like I said, when Dipper and Mabel decide to play the game, they say it would take about 21 minutes, which is the runtime of the show. We went through the good deeds. Let me see. Oh, yeah. Later, after being rejected by the unicorn a second time, Mabel also writes down sharpen Stan's pen, fill honey jar, knit Seuss a scarf, and brush a cat. Other deeds that were planned in production for Mabel, but they had to cut. Were changing a car tire, giving an apology letter to Gideon for putting him in jail, paying parking meters, saving Lazy Susan's cat from a tree, writing an apology letter to Pacifica about how she started that rumor that your butler picks your nose for you, filling Seuss's cabinet with cereal, and chasing after a garbage truck for the plastic bottle she didn't recycle. Furthermore, when Mabel put the two snails on the plant, they were promptly eaten by a dog. On the list of bad things I did, she writes that she brushed Waddles' teeth with Dipper's toothbrush.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the blowing the SOS. Ooh, yeah, we forgot that Ford had the cipher file. So he had a file on Bill. And it contains the following piece of information. It says just about pyramids. Pyramids are also known as square cones, are found all over the globe and have deeply mysterious origins. Engineers marvel at their seemingly impossible construction, but many don't realize they are actually just the skeleton remnants of an ancient race of large triangular dinosaurs who had very blocky bones. The Cycloptostonosaurus was a feared predator and roamed the plains of northern Africa, where it subsisted on a diet of warthogs and meerkats. Made tender by their carefree lives and trouble-free philosophies, the reign of the pyramid continued well into the 18th century, where a young George Washington once saw one on summer vacation and swore that he would found a nation with the sole purpose of putting an image of it on the backs of dollar bills. Pyramids today are mainly tourist attractions and settings for conspiracy movies, like that one where the guy has to steal the Declaration of Independence. You know the one, Conspiracy Hank goes overboard. If you ever get a skateboard, go to Egypt and try riding down inside a pyramid. I hear that's really encouraged. That's incredible. But that's also part of Bill's origin as well, where Alex Hirsch just literally took that little triangle of the eye on the back of the dollar bill and just made him a villain. Just gave him a little top hat and cane, and then there you go.
Mr. Peanut.
Yeah. There's also a lot more stuff. But I want to get to the cryptograms. Oh, yeah, the thing about interdimensional or interdimensional chess. It seems they have different rules because both of them make illegal moves in regular chess. Forgot about that. Like you said, oh, we have a list of all the people that flash through. It's basically almost everybody. And it actually repeats itself before it cuts to the end of the cryptogram page. And apparently, Celesta Bethabel is clearly similar to Celestia with Rarity's cutie mark from My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic. I wouldn't ever know that. I'm not a brony.
Not me either.
And Raul is not a brony either. So, as far as I know, he's not a brony. Yeah, so... The cryptogram in the end credits, when decoded with the Venagerie key, which is Schmendrick, which is seen in the Gnome Tavern. Oh yeah, there's a fox in that Gnome Tavern as well. It's found on a stump when they entered the Gnome Tavern. It reads, "A simple man with eager ears may trust the whisper that he hears." The cryptogram at the end of the page, which is just, I believe it's Ford's face upside down, and it's written on his glasses. But decoded, using the combined cipher, reads, "In Cipher's game, he needs a pawn. Be sure to know which side you're on."
Mm.
When Dipper's looking through the cipher file under Mindscape, there is a cryptogram. And once decoded, using the author's symbol substitution cipher, it reads black and white. The many codes and cryptograms found on Stan's chalkboard are also, there's a lot of them. They translate to these words, think, liar, on, which is APESNRMSD, lower dashes TEPYR. So I don't know what that is, but it's a bunch of ciphers. Oh, on the stone wall in the cave, there's a cryptogram. You know where Ford found the incantations for Bill? Yeah, that's all a cryptogram. It's a pretty lengthy one, but using the author's author symbol substitution cipher, it reads, "It started with bad dreams, which became nightmares. I was foolish. I wanted answers. I painted the symbols. I said the words. When gravity falls and the earth becomes sky, fear the beast with just one eye."
Nice.
Which that is the...
What McGucket thing... said.
Yes, that is exactly what McGucket said. At the last sentence, at least. And, yeah, that's the last Mablecorn. So what'd you think about this episode? I think this is one of the better... ones later in the season. It fills in the holes of the story. Fucking like just hilarious. Grenda especially is the funniest person in this episode for me.
Now Grenda is hilarious. I love the thing that everything that you just said, that we have more continuity and we know more about the ending of the show. If you have seen the show multiple times, technically the conversation between Ford and Dipper, the whole conversation is foreshadowing of the finale of the series. It's like there's a lot of foreshadowing there. But also, I really like the whole concept of talking about the heart of the series with Mabel, that it's about testing her how good she can be. But I also love the whole kind of like the, like you said, Chinatown kind of the, like the whole ordeal between the drugs with the gnomes and also with the thing with the unicorns. This episode is really damn good. I will give it a 9. This is a really good damn episode.
I'm also going to give it a 9. I think that's a pretty good... It's both story-driven, but it also acts as kind of a filler with, like, the unicorn. Like, one half filler, one half story. Which, that's, to me, is perfect. Not like the next episode, but we'll get there when we get there. No, this was a really solid episode, and where can the good people find you?
You can find me as always at RobertRDC on Twitter, Instagram, and on TikTok, and on Letterboxd at RobertRDC. You can follow the podcast and SYNS Pod on Twitter. Please give us a review and like, and also subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google Podcasts, Anchor, the other ones, and Jubilee.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at and Letterboxd on at Master of Puns 196. It's very late for me. Every word starts with a capital letter. You can also follow me on Instagram at Billy Batson's Lightning. Nothing is capitalized. And once again, you can follow our Twitter at SYNSpod, as well as just give us a 5-star and write a review on Apple Podcasts, like that asshole, as well as listen to us on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, SoundCloud, wherever podcasts are listened to. And as always,
see you next summer. Dun, 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 dun.